Yeah, the scripture we're reading this morning, that I'm going to be reading, actually comes from the King James Version of the Bible. The version of the Bible that's in the pews is the New Revised Standard, so it's slightly different. And I actually read this, and I enjoyed it because of that stirring each other up rather than provoking each other. I was like, yeah, that's what we do. And if you think about the bowl with the stuff that you're cooking with, it's not just the spoon that's stirring things up. Things are hitting each other and making things happen in that bowl, in addition to the person who's stirring it all up. So here we go. Our scripture this morning is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 18 to 25. If you'd like to follow along, it can be found in the Pew Bibles, beginning on page 224 in the New Testament. But as I said, I will be reading from the King James Version. As we prepare to hear God's word, let us pray. Living God, with joy, we celebrate the presence of your risen word. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit so that we may receive and proclaim the good news of eternal and abundant life through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 18 through 25. Let us listen to the word of God. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, in which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more you see the day approaching. Beloved of God, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello to all of you. I am Richard, and I am very pleased to be here. I know Kevin a bit because I was part of a group in Providence who I had lunch occasionally, and I appreciate his invitation to be here with you. I should tell you just a bit about myself. I'm a Southerner, was born and grew up in Alabama. I came north to college to Brown, where I met my wife, and although we returned south to Vanderbilt Divinity School in Nashville, I then found myself, after a short pastorate in West Tennessee, becoming a college chaplain at Bates College in Maine. After some years there, and I took a leave of absence, I became a pastor of a Presbyterian church in Montclair, New Jersey, and after that, college chaplain at Dartmouth. So you see, I've had a long career, and I know I don't look as old enough to have that long career, but it is the case that I've been around for a pretty good long time. Now, I want to tell you that when I was at Bates, I'd been there for a while, I felt I needed to have some further education, and I decided, I was married, we had at that point three sons, we have three sons, they're very young. Our oldest one was in second grade, I think. I decided to return to Vanderbilt Divinity School for further study, PhD. And I explained this to my children. We were moving back from Maine to Tennessee for 2 years, so I could study Needless to say, the oldest was not happy to be moving from Maine, where he knew things, to Tennessee. He protested, and he's a really vigorous protester, still is to this day, a protester. And he called me on the carpet for doing this, and I said to him, you know, but I have to learn more. I have to keep learning. I want to keep learning. And he said, no, you don't. Why can't you just be an old-time preacher? That's haunted me all my life, and I am pretty much an old-time preacher. I understand that now. I'm an old-time preacher. That's why I, in this particular case, wanted to read from the King James Bible. It's an old-time version of an old-time preacher. Well, here I am now, retired, living again in Providence, where we have one of our sons lives. We have three boys, as I said. One of them lives in Providence. Another one lives in Boston. Another one lives in New York. So we are sort of in the middle of them. But I'm still a Southerner because I grew up there. Well, I gave you that introduction to just so you'll know sort of where I'm coming from today. And I'm talking about assembling, which in one sense means getting together. If we had read from the more modern versions of the Bible, it would have spoken to you about when you meet. Well, I think when you meet is a much less interesting word than assembling yourselves together. So that's what I prefer to think about today. Now, here we are in church. You're here, I'm here. We are a small group in terms of the population. There's been a decline in church attendance, notably over the last few years. I consulted a Gallup poll and found out that since 2004, the percentage of American people attending worship in any tradition has declined from 42% to 32%, less than one in three. And especially among young people, worship is not considered important or vital. Now, of course, there are exceptions, but it is, in fact, something that only a small minority of people find important to do. And yet, it is important. Now, I've already told you about my three sons. And I will confess that the only time any of them goes to church is when they are with me. I'm not proud of that fact, but it is a fact. They only go to church if I take them, if they're with me. They are in the great majority of young people who do not find it important to be in worship. Well, as an old-time preacher, I want to think that it is important to be in church. And I have no illusion that my saying so is going to change the situation. But something that we together can think about. What's the reason? And what is the thing that we should do about it? We're told that we should assemble ourselves together to nurture each other in faith. Now think about that word, assembling. I just want to examine it. It is a much richer word than meet. Assemble means you take the parts and put them together. That's how you assemble something. There have to be parts and you put them together. And we are each a part of the church. And we assemble together, but we also assemble ourselves. Assemble ourselves. Because the truth is that in our lives, we are fragmented in many different ways. We have so many different roles that we fill. We may be a parent, we may be a spouse, we may be involved in a vocation, we may work in a factory, we may work in a school, we may work in a store, we may be retired. There's so many things that go together to compose our life. But when we come together, we're not just assembling with other people, we are assembling ourselves, putting together the pieces to say, what is the whole? What is it we're all about? Well, we're about being children of God. Now, here I am. I know this is, according to Kevin, not the way your minister usually looks. He told me that he only wears a collar to indicate his status. But I'm wearing a robe and a stole because I am old-fashioned. I'm an old-time preacher. And this is what I was instructed to wear when I'm preaching, so that's why I'm wearing it. Old-time, you know. Kevin's a lot younger, and he does things differently. But we share the same faith, and we assemble ourselves as a group, and we assemble ourselves as a person. Because when we come to worship, we think about what is the most important thing in our lives. And we put together the parts. This is my job. This is when my situation in my family. This is the situation in my town. This is the situation in our nation. But here I am, a child of God, in a congregation of people who are children of God. And we acknowledge this all together. There are three ways, I guess, we can look at what we're told in Hebrews. One is that faith itself is most important, or that we can find out that faith is not as important as assembling. But no, more than that, there is more competition today in our lives, so Sunday is often an empty space, in which we come to assemble ourselves. The question is, what do we do here? It's challenging. Does it do good to speak to those who are not here? If I preached a sermon today, which is addressed not to you, but to people who are not here, how would that be helpful? Not very. Why do you attend? I'm posing the question for you. Why do you attend worship? And what does it have to do with assembling yourself together? Putting the parts of your life in order so that you know what is truly most important in your life. And as we assemble together, we can ask each other and provoke each other to examine that question. Now, we probably don't do that during coffee hour. Don't come up to each other and say, now, really, what's most important in your life? But in this context, that's the question we are all asking. What is the main focus of our lives? And isn't it, as Christians we say, loving God, serving God, and loving our neighbor? What is valuable? We want our children, you want your children, to have faith. But it goes against the grain right now. There are too many distractions. It's wonderful to have a few children here in worship. I wonder how many people in the age group of their 20s you have. When we look at that age group, it is almost missing from our churches. Why? Because they're too busy, perhaps? Too busy to stop and think about what is most important? Or do they find when they come to church that there's never really an opportunity to think about what's most important? That the peripheral is emphasized over the central. What is truly valuable? You know, I want my children to have faith, but I have to face the fact that they're not going to go to church unless I bring them. It's not a part of their lives. They grew up going to church, but they're not assembling themselves together now unless I take them, unless they're with me. So I'm wondering what our message is to each other, and especially to a younger generation. We think that faith is important. All of us, I know every one of you thinks that. But how do we express our faith to the world? Well, that's one of the things that we talk about as we assemble together. How can we be effective witnesses to the faith we proclaim in Jesus Christ? How can we do that? We have to practice. We have to practice. There are little ways that we practice trying to convey our faith. We pray privately. We pray together. Do we pray in our homes, even as simply as always saying a grace at meals? We say that the Bible is important. Do we, in fact, read the Bible? Do we read it at home as well as in church? Do we ever talk about it? Do we use those opportunities that are not just here at worship, but are provided throughout the week in churches to come and think and talk about our faith? In what ways do we encourage each other in this journey we're on as faithful people, followers of Jesus Christ? How do we encourage each other in that faith? Well, one way is that we pray for each other. Another is that we greet each other and encourage each other face to face. A community like this, which is small enough, you know what some of the people in the congregation are facing as challenges. Because there are always challenges. There may be challenges of health. There may be challenges of keeping a job or losing a job. There may be challenges that are economic. There may be challenges of health. There may be challenges of hope. How do we assemble ourselves together in a way that encourages each other? Well, coming and listening to a preacher is not always the way that you get encouraged. But I hope today you will be encouraged. Here I am, dressed as an old-time preacher. And that's what I am. I'm old, I'm a preacher. And what I have to proclaim is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is that God loves you, and God loves us all. And God calls us to love one another. That is what we are called upon to remember and to remind each other. That is the mission of the church. And it's a mission not just to the world, it's a mission to each other. Assemble, do not neglect assembling yourselves together to encourage each other in the faith that we share. It's a simple sermon. I hope it's something you will take with you as you go home and as you live. In the name of Christ, amen.